Well, firstly, can I thank you for the welcome that you've given to me this evening? And also thank you for the invitation to share with you in worship and then to lead you as we look at the Word of God together. Each one of our scripture passages for today has to do with shepherding in some form, although I note your creative paraphrase. I'm so glad, Nathan, you gave me the word earlier. I might have had a bit of a shock thinking, are they reading from the same Bible that I am? But today is often referred to as sort of Shepherding Sunday because of the focus of the readings. And while shepherds and shepherding are perhaps out-of-date terms in our general vocabulary these days, for those of us who are familiar with Scripture, they're words that speak impressively to us, that they convey a powerful image to us of the loving care of God for us, his sheep. The prime example of that is, of course, Psalm 23, where God guards and guides and provides and leads and protects. We understand it at that personal level of God, the shepherd, our shepherd, providing everything that we need. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a wonderfully comforting and encouraging image of the way in which God cares for us. However, in the Old Testament, shepherding was also an image used by the prophets to describe the manner in which the leaders of Israel were expected to care for the whole community of God's people, or to describe the character of leadership the leaders were expected to embody and to demonstrate. So it has a political connotation. In Ezekiel 34, God uses shepherding imagery to attack the leaders of Israel who've not shepherded his people, who've not cared for the people in their charge, who haven't cared for the weak, who haven't protected the helpless. Instead, they've misused their position of authority and power by taking advantage of the vulnerable, looking out only for themselves at the expense of those same weak, helpless and vulnerable members of the community whose responsibility they had been given. Well, today I want to focus on this passage from John chapter 10. Again, it talks of shepherds. It's a fascinating passage and I think quite readily open to misunderstanding, and I speak from a personal experience. I say that because with its close proximity to Jesus' words just a couple of verses later in the same chapter where he says, I am the good shepherd, the assumption is readily made that Jesus is also the shepherd mentioned in those first 10 verses, whose voice the sheep hear, recognise, and who follow their shepherd's voice. Most preachers seem to take it that way from my memory, including me. However, as I read again the passage more carefully in preparation for today, I noticed that here Jesus specifically says, I am the door, or I am the gate. They can be translated the same way. In fact, this is one of those seven emphatic statements that Jesus makes in John's Gospel, where he gives particular weight to that first person indicative, I am. And talking about the door or the gate to the sheepfold by which the sheep move in and out safely following their shepherd, Jesus says, I am that door. I am that gate. So how are we to understand it? To begin with, it's important that we read these 10 verses as following on directly from the verses of the previous chapter. Now, if in your mind you can think about John chapter 9, Jesus has healed the man born blind. And the Pharisees, the religious authorities or the spiritual authorities, in their efforts to find out just how he regained his sight, flatly refused to believe his calm and persistent assertion that he's been healed by Jesus. And they refuse to believe that it's Jesus who's healed him. After all, who's Jesus? They reject the man's testimony and they cast him out of the synagogue. They cast him out of the church. And hearing this, Jesus finds the man and asks him, and I'm reading from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase here, the Message, because I think it really helps us to understand. Jesus asks the man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man said, "Point him out to me, sir, so that I can believe in him." Jesus said, "You're looking right at him. Don't you recognize my voice?" "Master, I believe," the man said, and worshipped him. Jesus then said, "I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear so that those who've never seen will see, and those who've made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind." Now, if you'll indulge me, I'll continue to go on then to read our passage, John 10 and the first 10 verses. Jesus continues to talk. "Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good, a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him and the sheep recognise his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow because they're familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it." Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he's talking about. So he tried again. "I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep stealers, every one of them." But the sheep didn't listen to them. "I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." So Jesus here is not the shepherd. That comes in the next section of the chapter. Jesus is the gate or the door. Jesus is the means of entry for the sheep into safety and the means of exit out into pasture. Jesus describes the leaders of Israel as those thieves and robbers who climb over the fence into the sheepfold to steal and destroy, to do damage. They are the ones who, again, just like in Ezekiel's time, are not real shepherds who care for the sheep in their charge. They don't really care for God's people whose responsibility they've been given. And they've demonstrated that by the way in which they've treated this man born blind. They've not believed Jesus. They have no interest in entering through Jesus into eternal life. Therefore, continuing the metaphor, they are not acting like the shepherds concerned to lead God's people to life in all its fullness. However, the man born blind has recognized the voice of God in Jesus. And what does he do? He worships Jesus. Or we might also say, because of Jesus, he's received not only sight, but life. He enters through the door into life in Jesus' name in all its fullness, just as Jesus has promised. What does it say to us? Well, it says Jesus is the door that leads to God. That Jesus is the gateway through whom we may approach God. Jesus is the means by which we understand God. It's through Jesus that we know God. And we could also look at that from the opposite direction and say that it's through Jesus that God also comes to us and makes himself known to us. Jesus is the door through which we pass into eternal life. Life in his name. A life of authenticity. A life of freedom. A life of purpose. A life that is the real deal because it is founded on the truth that is in Jesus. What else does it say? To those of us who are leaders, this story asks of us, do we care for those in our charge as a shepherd does, or as a good shepherd does? Do we care for these, our flock, in ways that nurture and lead to life? Do our people recognise the voice of the Lord in us? Does our leadership reflect the truth that is Jesus? Do we carry out our leadership responsibility in the name of Jesus, in the way of his gospel? Or do we do things our own more selfish way, seeking our own advantage to advance our own cause, to increase our own influence? If we extend that metaphor yet again, as members of that flock in the sheepfold, do we listen for the voice of the one who is our shepherd? In the midst of a world of voices competing for our attention and for our allegiance, voices that all claim to speak the truth and to hold the truth, do we recognise the voice of God when it comes to us through Jesus? Do we recognise the voice of God when Jesus invites us to come to God through him? Are we courageous enough to follow where that voice leads? Are we confident enough in hearing his voice that we will follow him even when we don't know exactly where that may lead? Trusting that wherever Jesus is, there is life. May God help us not only to listen, but in listening to recognise his voice, that we may follow with confidence and find food for our souls. May we help others, those sheep who were lost, who Jesus talks about later on in chapter 10. May we help those lost sheep to hear and to recognise the voice of the shepherd, that they too may find life and peace and a safe place for their souls. May we draw near to God through Christ, the door, and discover that there is peace, joy, and life in all abundance. Amen.